Hello there, this is Dave Allen from Mactronic Questions, and today it's just me. It's been a week of having visitors here in Catalonia, and I haven't had time to organise interviewing somebody, but I've got plenty to say anyway. If you have been following some of the Wizard Gold video tutorials on YouTube, you'll see I'm interested in encryption. I have video tutorials up there showing you how to encrypt your emails, and you can use the same GPG encryption system to encrypt any of your files. With all the bad things that are happening around the world at the moment, and there are always bad things happening, there is renewed interest in privacy and security. Now, politicians that have no idea whatsoever about how technology works are looking to have a crackdown on ordinary citizens using encryption. David Cameron, the British Prime Minister, has made a statement in which he says he's looking for cooperation from the US President and also the companies that hold our data to get back to access to anybody's data as they require it. Companies such as Apple and Google have already taken the stand that they don't want to be involved with this type of shenanigans. They are making their systems work in such a way that they would not be able to show their users' data to anybody, including governments and law enforcement, even if they were asked to. Quite simply, they are not going to hold the keys, so it's not going to be possible for them to be coerced into divulging their customers' private information. And this is as it should be, because the politicians don't realise that if there is a backdoor in, then it's a gaping hole for anybody to use. The bad hackers out there will do whatever they can in order to find these access points so that they can also have unfettered access to our data. Besides, if Google, Apple or whoever else is holding the data decide to do this, then the customers are not really going to trust them very much anyway, and they're going to find their own ways to make sure their data's safe before they put them up onto these places anyway. When politicians are making statements like this, it kind of shows the world just how stupid they are and two-faced to boot. On one hand, they take part in parades in Paris to show solidarity with free speech, and then on the other hand, they turn around and say that the general public are not allowed to privacy and security of their own data. The same goes for religious leaders, and yes, Pope Frankie, we're talking about you. On one hand, they condemn the attacks on free speech by religious-inspired extremists, and then say that free speech has limits. Obviously, they don't like the idea of free speech taking the mickey out of their religion either. And this is where I say, je suis Charlie. This week I have tested out an application called Tutanota. I hope that's how you pronounce it. It's from a German company. It allows you to send encrypted mail without having the bother of trying to understand public and private key encryption. You can get the application to send encrypted emails from your mobile devices, and you can send encrypted email to anybody even if they don't have the application or an account with the service. I think it's still better to use GPG, as you are the person responsible for looking after private keys, which you use to decrypt anything that has been sent to you encrypted. When using an external service, you have to put a certain amount of trust in how that service works and whoever is running that service. With Tutanota, the way that sending private email works is that you send the encrypted message and you get the password to your recipient by other separate and safe means. Your agreed password with your recipient you can send by a secure chat service that you know has end-to-end encryption. You could go the analog route by actually making a phone call and telling your recipient the password. If you are completely paranoid, then you could decide that the only way to pass the password along safely would be to do it face-to-face. You would perhaps use a similar process if you are giving somebody your public key from GPG encryption if you need to make sure of the key verification. It's all about trust and signing of keys. If you know a key definitely belongs to someone, you can sign it and boost its level of trust for everybody. This is why sometimes you have GPG, public key parties. This would be where a group of people wishing to use encryption will actually meet up and verify that the public key that they are being given belongs to the person that they are expecting to get messages from. That way you don't get messages in from someone and they're actually from somebody else and you end up sort of giving them information that they shouldn't be having. So the nitty-gritty of the way that the Tutanota works with somebody who is not subscribed to the service is that they receive an email that has been encrypted and is therefore unreadable by anyone. Within that email, there was a link to go to the Tutanota website, and that is where they put in the password, that agreed password that I've told you about before, allowing them to read that email. The weak link in this service is that it assumes that the computer being used by the recipient is not compromised. It assumes that there are no keyloggers installed or other malware that can both steal the key, the password to open the email, or just be able to read the email anyway. The other reason why I would prefer to take control of my own encryption keys is the fact that Tutanova has been done as a web service, and I don't personally know how secure that web service really is. I suppose I could take steps to find out, but well, it's just easier for me to use GPG. You have to take into account the level of security and privacy that you're looking for when you choose the encryption method that you're going to use. For better quality general purpose encryption, then I would recommend using GPG. And as I say, you can have a look at my tutorials, which will show you exactly how to use it. It's a little bit more difficult to understand exactly how the public and private key system works, but once you get your head around it, you'll see that it's fairly easy to use, especially when you're using a plugin for your email application on your Mac or iOS device. The next best encryption that I would recommend will be for you to use certificates that you can get from places like StartSL and Commodore. They are free to use if you use the certificates that last just for 1 year. These companies, in my opinion, can be trusted, and you have to verify yourself in order to get the certificate. This gives a level of trust to let other people know that you are who you say you are when you are communicating with them. You sign your emails when you send it to them. This system is a little bit more difficult to set up, but once it's in place, it's quite easy to use. The difficulty with this one would be where you want to communicate with somebody who's not technically minded enough to be able to set it up in the first place. There are other encryption applications you can use where you control the keys and you're not reliant upon a service like Tutanota. With one of these, you would be able to encrypt a file or some text and use a password method in the same way as you would with Tutanota. As they say, you pay your money and you make your choice. Do have a look at the Wizard Gold YouTube channel and find the tutorials to learn how to use the GPG encryption. The Apple Mail application in Yosemite has just had the plugin updated to work as it did before it was broken by the operating system upgrade. You can also use GPG encryption with the Mail application Postbox and possibly with some other email applications too. But as I say, I've used it and tried it and worked well with both of those. The Postbox application is in the latest Mac Heist bundle if you want to get your hands on it. I used it for a while and I prefer to use the Apple Mail app. When you've got everything set up for your sending and receiving emails, if you need to, you can send me some emails and have a practice. The same goes for using the certificates if you want to know that works. I'm always open to answer your questions. Blogging with Scrivener. As you know, I am a big fan of Scrivener, the writer's application. It's an app that I use to write my books. The first of my books is coming out soon, and the brand name is Good and Geeky. The first book looks at having a writer's workflow, which is technology-based with the hardware and software that I like to use from Apple. Whenever I have some writing to do, it doesn't matter if I'm out and about with my iPad or iPhone or whether I'm in the office. My flexible writer's workflow even works great when I'm lying down on the sofa with my feet up dictating with Siri into my iPad Air 2. If I'm going to do a lot of writing, then I do prefer to be sitting at my desk in front of my Mac using Drag and Dictate. It's a lot faster than using a keyboard. Anyway, what I do presently with my writing is that I put all the text documents that I've written using Markdown into a folder. I keep all of these text documents in one place, and it helps me to find them at a later stage when I use the tagging and keywords that is part of the operating system since Mavericks. Whenever I save a new file, I add the tags, so I have a tag for each of my podcasts. And if I want to search, for example, through Mac 20Q work that I've done, I can search with that tag. That tag will bring up everything connected to Mac 20 questions. This means I will see graphics I've made using Affinity Designer, Pixelmator, ArtText 2, as well as any text documents and the audio files that I create when I'm making the podcast using Amadeus Pro. So that's a good thing to do. If you're not using tags, then I would suggest you give it a go. I've been thinking lately, though, that it would be useful to have all of these text documents in one place, not just in a folder, but in an application, and Scrivener would be the perfect place to put them all. This would be useful if I decide at a later stage that I want to create a book from any of my writings, and I'll already have it in Scrivener, ready to start working with. What a mess. My mum is driving me to distraction. She has an iPad and an iPhone. She's just got the 5C and she's enjoying it. And she's got a MacBook. The iPad and iPhone are signed into different Apple IDs, and I haven't yet seen how the MacBook is connected up to Apple. She's been getting the people in the shop that's hold of the iPhone to help her, and she has no idea about security whatsoever. The passwords she uses are terrible, even though she has the 1Password app. Well, she'd been staying for a week and she went back home again, and I wished I'd come across this problem earlier on the visit so I could have sorted it out. So now I'm going to have to do this while she's back at home in Birmingham, and I'm going to have to sort of do it with maybe some Skype chats or something else to try and get it all sorted out. Now that she's back home again, I shall have to get her to tell me what Apple ID she's using on her MacBook, and that will help us decide which of the iOS devices have to be changed. Ideally, what we want is to have all of the devices using the one Apple ID, and it's going to make it a little bit easier to sort out a password for her if she's got just one Apple ID. And of course, with the Apple ID, you can't merge them together, so basically we're going to have to abandon one or two of them. I don't know if she's got all together now. I don't know if she's got two for certain, and get her to get it all sorted out. And maybe what I'll have to do is next time she's coming out to visit to bring everything over. So this time she just had the iPad and iPhone, and I'll have to tell her to bring it over the Mac as well, and I can give a good look into that and see everything sorted out there properly too. Anyway, these people in the Apple shops and phone shops that have been helping her have made a right crap job of guiding her through the setup and the iOS device, and I'm a little bit annoyed. I'm a bit miffed. Can you tell? So this is Dave Allen, just doing a short Mac 20 Questions podcast today, and I'll talk to you again soon. And as I say, if you'd like to be a interviewee, a guest on the show, why don't you send me an email to mac20q@gmail.com, and let's set something up. We'll have a look at the time zones and see when it's possible to sit down together and do a Skype talk or a FaceTime chat, and we'll get something going and do a recording. And if you've got some tips of what you like to do with various applications, that will be helpful to the readers of the Mac20Q site or to the listeners of the podcast, then this will be a good place to do it. And of course, if you've got something else that you want to promote, maybe you've got a podcast yourself that you'd like to tell my listeners about, I'd be only too happy to spread the word for you. So as I say, this is Dave Allen from Catalonia talking to you about Macs and iOS devices, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye now.